He won.
Jimmy,
the Hoyas.
Jimmy, you've done a lot of play-by-play. When do you think Rich in his head said, okay, that's enough?
Or was he counting? Like to try to get to the losing streak?
I thought he would do 29.
Yeah,
I counted them. They're 23 Hoyas. Yeah.
Well, just at that point, what's another six?
So one of my friends in college, you know? His dad went to Georgetown, and so he grew up with season tickets. He was from the D.C. area, and he told me about Rich in college. So this is about close to 20 years ago. And so in 2007, they went in the tournament, and they beat Vanderbilt. And I still have the clip in my email to this day where he goes, you know, Hoyas win, Hoyas win, Hoyas win. And then screams out the Chevy Chase Bank postgame show is next, and just and then you hear him clapping on the air, and then he goes into the headset again and goes, "Well, that's it for Vanderbilt." So when you brought up Rich, I was like, "Oh, that's my wheelhouse."
Yeah, seriously, like he should have done. Should he have not done an extra six? If you've gone over the 20 Hoyas win mark, might as well just make it like significant to the number and the streak that was broken.
I'm sure he wasn't counting, but to get to 23, I was like, when do you just stop? Hey,
right.
Hey, Rich, been there, seen some bad basketball. When you win, celebrate.
Yeah.
Pete's I can't say I've ever done that one.
Pizza always tastes better on the road after a win. All right, welcome back in. Mornings with Sharp and Hanley. A little bit later, Scott Shanley will join us. Also, Brandon Vogel. Last night, Trev Alberts made his monthly appearance on his radio show. Guys surprised that Nebraska is going to continue to practice in the morning.
Yeah.
Because it's, for the academic side, it is a challenge in Lincoln to have that many class schedules that are kind of rearranged for afternoon classes. And it made it sound like they're going to practice a little bit later in the morning. Scott liked to practice at 8:30.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when that was first brought up, we were like, what? Nebraska always practices in the afternoon. What are you doing?
Yeah. But if Scott doing it, then.
But Nebraska is going to continue to practice in the morning, maybe a little bit later. But as you know, Trevor's good on that show because he'll reveal a lot of stuff, and you know, and they don't screen calls. And last night they had an amazing call. Jimmy helped to find the call. They had a Vietnam veteran from Lincoln that called in. But as Trev was kind of going through his bullet points, and he was asked about Matt Rhule and his staff, and we'll get to that because Trev said they've exceeded his expectations, and I'll be curious what y'all expectations were and if they've been met 2 months in. But one of my biggest takeaways, so when you come to be the head coach at Nebraska, or I think any coach at Nebraska, you probably are going to cross paths with Tom Osborne. It's smart to say, where's T.O.? I would just like to introduce myself, especially if you're on the football side, to get to know him, ask him some questions, even more if you're a head football coach. You know, I mean, that's a smart relationship. I don't know at this age, mid-80s, how much power T.O. has.
Yeah.
It kind of differentiates. Some people say, oh, yeah, he has a big say in what goes on. And other people are like, no. People like respect his opinion, but you know what? It's time to move on. It's a new era. Thanks.
Yeah.
Okay, so I don't want to say you got to kiss the ring, but it's very, very smart to start a relationship with Tom Osborne. But, and then we've seen Matt Rhule do that. I mean, he was at the Outland banquet. They sat at the same table. There's the, you know, the picture that brought, you know, warmed the cockles of a lot of people of Matt Rhule and Tom Osborne talking. But the thing that Trev said about who you are gaining knowledge from that struck me the most, Frank Solich. So we know what kind of Frank's feeling is about a place that he used to work. Now, Frank has been back to Nebraska numerous times. He recruited here when he was at Ohio. He came back for the Outland banquet when they honored him, and it was uncomfortable. But they gave him a level of comfort because they had a lot of his former players that were there. Of course, it was his former boss, and you got to see like the Frank smile, you know, kind of that little smile he has. So that you thought that was like going to break the ice, like okay, so Frank can come back, but it's not that easy. I know. In just little brief conversations, you know, there's always something that's going to stick with him about the way things ended here. That's an extremely prideful man.
Yeah.
But he has come back to Nebraska, and he's actually come back a couple of times privately. you know, he still has connections in Nebraska. So he'll come into town and leave. And it's always one of those things when somebody you don't expect to be around, you go, man, I didn't expect to see Frank Solich, you know, yeah. or Craig Bohl. Craig Bohl pops into Lincoln a lot. You know, Craig Bohl's still got family in Lincoln. It's kind of like Baker Mayfield's living here in Omaha now.
Yeah.
And so whether it be Baker Mayfield's at the Creighton game or he is shopping at my Hy-Vee there at 90th and Center.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
At 90th and Center. Wow.
But people in Nebraska are nice, so they leave Baker yeah. alone when he's, you know, grocery shopping. So whenever you see somebody that you don't expect, you're like, ah. So Frank has been back, but he's very, very quiet. But when Trev took over as athletic director, he, you know, communicated with Frank and was like, I would love to open the door for Frank to come back.
Mm-hmm.
And I said at the time, Frank, the uncomfortability of being back at Nebraska, like people say, well, why don't you have him come back and you'll honor him at the stadium? Remember, that's a very prideful man.
Yeah.
And so I said, you know what? When you open the new football facility, why not name the running back room after Frank Solich? Okay. Make sure every running back at Nebraska knows who Coach Solich is.
Mm-hmm.
The running back coach, what he did here as a player, what he yeah. did here as a coach. Name the running back room after him.
Especially the fullback back in play.
Oh. So the fact that Trev has started to open that line of communication with Coach Solich, I think is very eye-opening. And that he mentioned last night that he had Matt Rhule talk to Coach Solich, mm-hmm. which it's the first time. It's the first time, you know, since Frank's been gone that any you've ever heard, hey, this is a guy you should talk to.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Frank's got an interesting perspective on that job, the good, the bad, and the ugly. That was one of my biggest takeaways. And it really kind of, I was like, you know what, that's refreshing that you're not trying to force Frank to come back. Hey, we want to honor you at the game, but hey, you're still part of this program. You'll always be a Husker, and here we got a new coach that is trying to learn everything about Nebraska football mm-hmm. as a complete outsider.
Yeah.
And maybe like some previous outsiders that have come to take that job, he's open to gaining knowledge and perspective on what makes this job tick, the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Yeah, and I think that works at a couple different levels there. Kind of where you just left that conversation of how it could benefit Matt Rhule. Which I think a lot of coaches should always be open to it, where you don't take it as gospel, whatever every coach says, just because you're told you have to, like Tom Osborne. And I totally agree with you that there are certain people that feel like, well, did T.O. approve this? Did T.O. sign off on this hire?
Which we have to stop.
We do have to stop that. But there are people who feel like, well, you know, T.O. is probably someone that needs to give you the final say. No. We're beyond that. And I think Trev has insinuated as much when he talked about it again last night, about being innovative, being able to respect the traditions in the past, but also being innovative, basically being able to move forward while still respecting those traditions. And that's the only way that you can go about that. And I think it comes from a better place because it is Trev who was a big part of those traditions as a player as well. But the other, so obviously there's some things that Frank Solich, I believe, can share with Matt Rhule that could truly benefit Matt Rhule in the place that he's at. And think about it, the difference between Frank Solich and Matt Rhule. Frank Solich was coaching the game as recent as a couple of years ago before he retired. So he's also watched the game itself evolve. Not to say that Matt Rhule didn't when he was coaching at Baylor, but you had a guy that kind of saw how things used to be, saw a major powerhouse that he ended up taking over, and then a transition. So there is things, if you're Matt Rhule, that you can take away from. But kind of getting back to the Nebraska Frank Solich, Trev Alberts relationship with Frank, this is where I look at Matt as sort of a vessel as well. Because Matt Rhule, what you always hear about him, what we've heard when he speaks to the public, when he has the press conferences he had to this point, is he's very personable. He seems to kind of walk away from each of those conversations, making believers out of that room. And again, I think we're all aware that we'll truly embrace everything when we see it, but you you can dig what he's saying. You could appreciate what he's saying. And as much action as Matt Rhule can show to this point without actually coaching a game for Nebraska, he seems to be sort of backing up what he talked about. But I also think, and Trev mentioned this last night too, of his personable nature and the way that he can kind of connect with people, whether we're talking donors, whether we're talking recruits, coaches, and what have you. So the other thing that I thought of is you've got Matt Rhule, who is speaking, who's talking to Frank Solich. He leaves good impressions. And so if you're Frank Solich, you're like, you know what, I really enjoyed that conversation with this guy. I really hope he does well. Maybe you find yourself, and I don't want to say that Frank Solich is a Husker hater or is rooting for them to not be successful. But I think that if you have a guy that you feel you made some type of connection with, all of a sudden you feel a little bit even more connected to the team now, to the coach now. And you find yourself kind of rooting a little extra harder for the individual himself because you appreciated your engagement with them. And maybe there's going to be other interactions that are, you know, in the future. So I do think that it also kind of softens Frank up a little bit about this program under this particular head coach. And again, I don't want to make it sound like he was against Scott. He was against Bo. Maybe he was against Bill. But those two last coaches and really the last decade of Husker football, I don't want to say he was against those coaches, but I think that engagement from a guy that he probably hasn't spent much time ever talking with, maybe crossing paths every now and then when he was at Temple and Frank was at Ohio. But as far as the overall impression that Matt Rhule can leave on people, I think that could be powerful in sort of, again, trying to remedy that relationship with Nebraska and Frank Solich.
Yeah, there aren't many people left of you saying, hey, you want to learn about the past, here's who you should talk to. I mean, are you sending them towards Ron Brown? I don't think so.
No. I think Frank's a good one, too. I do. And but you're right. After that, what, are you having them call Bo?
No.
So, no, but I do think it can work. I think it can benefit both parties.
I mean, he's already talked to Scott, as he said.
Yeah. But I think that goes to show you. It's kind of like the recruiting. It's kind of like just the whole philosophy that we're learning under Matt Rhule is leaving no stone unturned right now in this job on how what he can learn both good and bad. Okay, what didn't work? What could work? How can I put my own philosophies and concepts on the things that can and maybe the things I need to avoid? That, you know what, we kicked that can so many damn times down the road and it just never worked, so we're not going to even touch it.
Well, it's, you know, are you going to learn from your past mistakes? Do you care to know what has ailed something and what to avoid in the future? Or do you just say, nope, this is who I am. I'm starting fresh. It doesn't matter what's happened in the past. Because there are some things along the way that you can learn from that, especially at a place like Nebraska, that were missteps that you can work to avoid if you just are aware of them. And again, it's an outsider. It's a complete outsider. There's no connection here. Never coached here. Never played here. Doesn't really know anybody.
Just knew of the Nebraska reputation growing up.
Yeah. So there's no, I don't have a problem with trying to gain knowledge about, you know, what worked, you know, who you are, who's important.
Yeah.
Why does Nebraska do this? Why do they do that? What's that tradition? There's nothing wrong with it. You gain all that knowledge and you just add it to what your stamp you're going to put on the program.
That's the most important thing.
You're not trying to continue something that was 20, 30 years ago because you are brand new, and you have to do it your way.
Yes.
But it does not hurt to ask people, hey, what do you think has ailed this program over the course of 15, 20, 25 years?
Yeah, just gaining knowledge, and what you decide to do with that knowledge is up to you. But that's the thing. Like, I always said there was value, even a few years back when that whole narrative of, if not Scott Frost, then who? Who's going to be able to fix Nebraska football? Which, again, I will always say that was a bunch of bull crap. I hated that narrative. I hated that question. But I always appreciated if you could find somebody that was a complete outsider, that had a fresh perspective, that they were always going to do things their way. They're going to kind of bring some new eyeballs, new perspective to the situation, but also being able to engage. Don't, for people like me, don't think that, oh, well, now he's talking to Frank Solich and he has Trev Alberts in his ears. He's going to be sort of a puppet. Absolutely not. Everything we've learned from Matt Rhule would indicate that he is not going to be that guy. But everything we've also learned from Matt Rhule is he is going to have attention to detail. And if there is something that he can pick up along the way from previous coaches, and there is something that maybe can resonate with him on his current philosophies, he might apply that. And I think that's a great thing to do.
All right, coming up next hour, you have a chance to win $100 of my booty. You got to remember this stat. 42-1. So it's actually a couple of numbers. 42-1 is the stat to remember. That's the number when Kansas City allows less than 24 points since 2018. 42-1. Just remember that as you're handicapping the Cincinnati-Kansas City game. 42-1 is the stat when we ask for it next hour. Got a chance to win $100 of my booty right here on 1620 The Zone.